The first of our three readings comes from the Old Testament prophet and book by his name, Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come forth from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the reading and the word of the Lord. Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, is also part of the basis of our celebration of Pentecost and also our message today. From Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others, mocking, said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. That would be 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This also is the word of the Lord. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as he prophesies and predicts who and what he does. The gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Our text is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, as a point of departure and also as a basis of Pentecost. Please join me in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon our ears and hearts, also upon my mouth in the proclamation of your word. Stir up our hearts. Arouse in us what you have commanded us to do, that we can live and speak the great and wondrous works of God, not only among one another, but also to our world and the world. We pray it all in the name of Jesus our Lord, and all God's people can say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Bash him. Crush him. Kill him. Those were the likely shouts of the man being pummeled to death by rocks. They were not cheers, they were rather jeers. And they came out of mob violence instigated by a terrorist who was convinced the victim had committed blasphemy, worthy of death. No, he was not a political activist, nor was he a leader, a likely killer. Actually, he was a religious person. He was a very thoughtful theologian. He was a religious zealot, though, thinking and being obsessed with stamping out the new Jesus movement that began shortly before. We know him as Saul, who later became Paul. He was a transformed terrorist who became the most ardent advocate of the Jesus cause, the foremost missionary of early Christendom, and the most prolific theologian and writer of the New Testament. Today, believed by 2.2 billion Christians worldwide. So what caused this change from being a mad murderer to becoming a persuasive convert to Christ? Let's go back 2,000 years. Jesus had fulfilled 3 years of public service, proclaiming the law and love of God, performing signs and wonders, gaining a huge following. But for his efforts, he was crucified and killed as a criminal on a Roman cross. However, as he predicted, he miraculously rose from the dead and showed himself physically alive for a period of about 40 days, after which he ascended to heaven, but not before he commanded his followers to go and make disciples of all nations, proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins by which his suffering and death he made possible. That's what he told them. And by his own resurrection from the grave, he affirmed his lordship over all and guaranteed the resurrection of you and me and all believers of all generations in Jesus, a similar physical bodily resurrection, even as Philippians 3 verse 21 says, he shall transform our body of low estate that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And that will happen at the last, when the last trumpet sounds and he would return again to earth. Well, but before the disciples were to go, they were to follow that's a tall order, isn't it? To go make disciples of all nations, even now, right? They didn't have transportation, but what we have are 7 billion people on this world. Before they were to go, he said, stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. After all, unless God would empower these believers, they would remain timid and intimidated behind locked doors for fear of the death that they might get, just as Jesus had gotten. And so it happened. After 10 days after Jesus ascended, and 50 days after the original Easter Sunday, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon 120, including the mother and brothers of Jesus, in the upper room. And there was a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. There were also the sight of fire on their heads and the stunning ability to speak in languages they had never learned before, foreign languages. And what were they saying? They were talking the wonderful works of God. And they were saying this to multiply thousands of Jews who had gathered to celebrate the ancient Jewish festival of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And that began the church. But it also began the opposition and persecution. Now, the book of Acts, we read that 3,000 new believers on that very first day. Then there were 5,000. The Jesus movement was growing by leaps and bounds in and around Jerusalem. As the word of God was proclaimed, signs and wonders were being performed, and love beyond description even impressed the people outside the faith. What love they had for one another. No, they didn't have a church building or a synagogue, and they were soon to be kicked out of the synagogues. And instead, it was the love and sharing from house to house. No, they didn't have newspapers to advertise or phones to communicate or computers to organize or bulletins to pass out. But what they did have was indispensable. It was the one thing needful. The one thing that generated the fearless passion, power, and persuasion. This was what they received at Pentecost and after. The same that makes the church, the Christian church, still move and grow. The same reason you and I are here. And that is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit that calls us by the gospel, brings us to the faith, enlightens us with his gift, sanctifies and empowers us to proclaim or share God's love. And the same Spirit ministers faith in the face of fear, forgiveness following failure, power in weakness, comfort in grief, and the promise of eternal life, a future that won't quit no matter what happens here. It's the same Holy Spirit that calms us in troubled and turbulent times, uncertain times, internationally and nationally, and gives us confidence and the word to follow Jesus to make disciples of all nations, as he did Saul to Paul, to change us, to transform us by the fire of his Holy Spirit. There is no lost cause that God and his Spirit can't overcome. There's no despair that God cannot bring hope to. There is no person or people that God cannot transform. even the enemies of the cross. For with God all things are possible, and he predicted that he is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. People will see visions, have dreams. People will also experience signs and wonders, and that's what he's doing. And it's a good thing God's Spirit is doing that. Or in the locked up and restricted countries of today, they would never know the gospel, as the Bible is a forbidden book, a censored book, and as Christian evangelists and missionaries are not allowed. At any rate, God can do all things, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the early believers believed that, and that's why 2,000 years later, you and I are here, because they did what God had wanted them to do in making disciples. There's a mind-blowing account that details a Lebanese whose parents reared him with the hard teachings of traditional and fundamentalist Islam. At age 7, he was introduced by radical imams to the AK-47. He learned martial arts, used explosives, and became a murder machine for Allah, motivated, presumably by a pleasurable reward in heaven for Muslim martyrdom. While in the USA to recruit for cultural jihad, is what he called it, a highway accident resulting injuries and eventual recovery put him in the context of loving Christians who knew nothing about his past. He cried out to Allah, who didn't answer. But the voice from heaven did. "Kamal," said the voice, "why don't you call on God, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" He did and was totally healed, and since has been a crusader for Christ. That's what God is doing around the world as well as in the United States. Now, I could end here on my script, but I'd like to go a little bit off script because, you see, I woke up shortly after 3 o'clock this morning, and apparently 10 minutes was not enough. And I thought God was wanting me to share some other things as well. You see, sometimes we as Christians take for granted even our own heritage and Christianity. It's possible that our faith could become stale or dormant or even dead, or we could have a tortured faith, a tried faith, and we want to maybe be tempted to give up. But we need to go back, I believe, to our baptism and confirmation. Let's remember those vows. In fact, Luther was one who said, daily contrition and repentance to remember these things. And maybe 3 words will help us to do this. Maybe we need to turn off our televisions, our computers, and our phones and get with God privately, just you, me, and him. When we ask, what does this mean? What does the Holy Spirit mean? Perhaps we can follow these things. I have them in 3 words: renounce, repent, and be renewed. You know what we said? And what you hear on Confirmation Sundays? Do you renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways? And we say, yes, I renounce them. Don't we? Yes? Yes, we do. All right? And that's good. That is not just ancient language. That is so relevant today. When we renounce the devil and we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we're doing what Saul did on the way to Damascus. For you see, if we read the account in Acts chapter 9, and then his recalls in Acts chapters 22 and 26, we have his own testimonies. Saul, he thought he was serving God. He was on his own trip. He was stamping out Christians, extraditing them from Damascus, Syria, to bring them back to Jerusalem, possibly to imprison and kill them. So when the light came from heaven, he saw the light. It blinded him. And the word of God from heaven said, "Why, Saul, do you persecute me?" He thought he was serving God. He knew it was God's voice. He says, "Who are you? I thought I was serving you. And God said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then Saul said, in one instance, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He confessed Jesus as Lord, and when we do that, and that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved, as it says in Romans chapter 10. He was instantly saved, but he still had a lot of thinking and reflecting to do. What am I to do? Well, we know that for 3 days he was blind, waiting for someone to come and lay hands on him to heal him, to receive a special anointing of God's Holy Spirit. I think maybe we don't need 3 days, but we should be reflecting. And maybe, first of all, starting to renounce, to resist. And then the second one, to repent. To repent of our sins. It says in the scripture, we just heard it earlier today, that the Holy Spirit does convict or convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. To say, Lord, you know, maybe I've taken a vacation from you. Maybe I haven't been with you. Maybe I haven't had some undivided attention to you. But I just want you to search my heart and soul. And I want to say I'm sorry for any and all sins. It can be something from lethargy to laziness. It could be drugs or alcohol or sins of the heart. It could be sexual sins or porn. It could be resentment. It could be revenge, trying to get back at somebody. It could be even fears and anxiety. Because you see, Scripture says, whatever is not of faith is sin. We need to ask God for forgiveness of that. Yes, those kinds of things, to repent of those things and say, Lord, please forgive me. Because that was the message. Preach repentance, proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the world. It could be that you already are overburdened with sin, with failure, with regrets. And maybe you are tortured. Maybe you think you have done the unforgivable sin. But God is here to say, there's forgiveness with him that he may be feared. You see, this is a way of cleaning out the garbage of our lives and saying, Lord, here it is, please wash me clean. May the blood of Jesus be over that. And may I be clothed with your righteousness to be able to serve you. And once that is done, that emptying process, that God can fill our hearts. You know, Romans chapter 12 says, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may be able to know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect gift and will of God. It's not something we do, it's what we allow God to do in our lives, to transform us with the fire of his love. And that's why we can say, fill me, Lord, just as you did those early disciples. Fill me so I can be your people with passion and power and persuasiveness to redo our mind, to renew our mind. And so may we have our own personal experience with God's Spirit more than on Sunday, more than occasionally, but as often as we are convicted, God help us. That's why we have the confession and absolution in our weekly worship. And may God transform us. May it become personal, more than form, more than habit, but also powerful in our lives. We ask this. May the same Spirit of Pentecost be the same Spirit that transformed Paul and Kamal, comfort and encourage and transform you and me and empower you to be the people of God and to do what he wants you to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's people can say amen. Amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Amen.